Rick, we talk a lot about our work with the newspaper, and we make a lot of references to the stories that have been published there throughout the week. For those folks who weren't here this week, those stories are available to them on the internet, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Where would they go to track down the week's worth of Oshkosh news?
Well, you go to airventure.org, and generally the content of the paper is posted in there, and each story has its own link on the main page, and then there are links to previous issues. Thanks to Sue Arrowwood, who I can't say enough about the job that Sue does. I mean, she is...
Because
she's kind of isolated up in the building. We'd like to get her down at the newspaper office one of these years, and that may well happen. But she goes about her business, gets everything done, and allows the whole world to share in all this that we're enjoying
here.
So
all those stories are there for anyone who wants to take a look.
Absolutely.
So what else is going on this week? Let me suggest a possible theme that I saw this week in a number of different announcements and products and just people talking, and that's the whole subject of fuel. Not simply this question of the expense of fuel, but the outright question of availability of fuel.
Yeah.
And how much longer are we going to have ready access to 100 low lead? And if we don't, what are the alternatives? It seems like we've seen a lot of announcements of turbine engines this week. Maybe I'm just noticing them more. But, Rolls-Royce announced an engine that theoretically will be usable on a four-place aircraft. Is there a theme there?
Well, I think you're seeing a maturation of our research and development efforts. The RR500TP that Rolls-Royce announced this week is something of a growth version of the old Allison 250 that Rolls-Royce bought the rights to several years ago. They're seeing the writing on the wall. The writing basically says, no one really knows what the future of 100 low lead is. No one really knows if there is going to be a suitable, commonly available and reasonably priced aviation quality gasoline available, whether that's going to be 100 low lead or some other name attached to it.
Well, there's considerable pressure from some corners of American society to
get the lead out.
Do away with the to get the lead out, and essentially we're the only major users of leaded fuel, even though it's a lot less lead than it used to be.
Right.
But there is research underway that's showing some promise, thanks to the low volume of fuel that our community requires. They say that they can develop this, get it to market, and in mass production 3 to 5 years, and at a price competitive with the cost of 100 low lead before we saw this huge spike,
which
would be lovely.
Good luck with that. I'd certainly like to see it myself, but I don't know. I think that train's left the station.
No, I just remember when...
Reference points never stay stationary.
That's right.
When I started working at EAA in 2000, I seem to recall, the 100 low lead issue, I guess, discussion that it was only going to be around for about 10 more years. Uh-huh. Well, here it is. It's eight years more,
right.
And maybe
nine
almost
years,
nine.
Yeah.
And Earl Lawrence, as many of you may know, is very involved in the ASTM.
That's EAA's Vice President of Government Affairs?
Correct.
Yeah.
Or some title like that. Government VP, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
But
right.
He's the man that knows a lot about that stuff, and,
but
here it is.
There's so much research going into alternative fuels right now, both for aviation and for the rest of the gas-burning fleet, many of which don't use corn. They use other sources of vegetation to create fuel. There's algae, research into algae, which is a type of algae that actually produces a petroleum-like substance as a waste product. Now, as uncomfortable as it might seem to be flying around on algae poo.
there's the brand name right there.
That just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
I need some 110 octane algae poo, please.
I tell you, Lake Winnebago's full of it. Maybe we'll become the new Saudi Arabia here.
Well, and that was a criticism when the idea was first floated, no pun intended, was it, you know, the traditional knee-jerk naysayers were like, well, we can't afford to take over that much land for all the lakes that you need to do all this algae. But really smart people have developed these vertical cells. They suspend from a ceiling 30 feet, and they're spaced every few feet apart. And in about 20,000 square feet, they can do, what was it, 21 million gallons a year, they said.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the beauty of it is, in producing that high-octane consumable waste product, the algae takes carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So carbon footprint-wise, for those that are attentive and believers, it's completely neutral.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It takes it out, and it puts no more back in than what it takes out. And then it's there available for those good algae to eat and excrete and give us more fuel.
That's right.
Can you beat the excrete? Not in this case.
We have two just gorgeous Starduster biplanes.
Those are from the story, yeah.
So yeah, these are the father and son.
These are the two?
Yeah. That's son on the left and dad on the right.
But they appear to be the same vintage. They were built, I'm sorry, maybe I wasn't
20 years apart. 20 years apart.
These two airplanes were built 20 years apart.
Yes, the one.
So which one's the older one?
Well, the guy with the beard's the older one.
So this gentleman over here. In any event, two really gorgeous airplanes.
I believe the older one's the one on the right, which is anybody who's
the older aircraft.
Anybody who's watching us can see.
I can't tell.
As immaculate as okay. The one in front.
They're right. Gorgeous. They're gorgeous. Right. Of course, we've been seeing here for a number of years now diesel engines starting to be embraced for aircraft, and one of the showcase aircraft that they were showing off this year was an electric aircraft. And I didn't get a chance to see that fly. Did either of you guys see it?
I didn't either. I was out in the right spot a couple of times.
Yesterday it flew.
Did it fly yesterday?
About
of course it flew
o'clock.
When I didn't go out to look for it.
Sure. Uh-huh. Hey, we got a story in the paper about it. You know, we snuck it in at the end yesterday.
You mean now I got to read the paper?
But apparently it's...
I'll just look at the pictures.
I guess this would be obvious if you think about it, but it's quiet, this electric airplane.
Yes.
That was the headline, the ooh, so quiet.
Yeah, so maybe that's why you missed it, Dave. You didn't.
And I understand that they are just about to break the long extension cord technology problem.
Well, so that's my question, actually. Is it really practical to power an aircraft off of batteries? I mean, are we even close to having battery technology
We're at a point now where the motor technology, which is of equal importance with the power of the battery, they're flying some research aircraft. Boeing, believe it or not, is engaged in this.
Really?
Using fuel cell technology to produce the power, to charge the battery, to give you reserve power.
Well,
able to fly about 90 minutes.
It was a few years ago that NASA developed and flew a very long endurance electric aircraft. The pictures.
Solar, wasn't it solar?
Solar, exactly. It was solar, and they had enough lightweight battery technology on it that it could stay aloft an indefinite period of time and measured in days. During the daytime and daylight, the batteries recharge. At night, the batteries discharge. The motors keep turning.
Sounds a lot like us.
I think it had just a wide, long array of engines, motors, I should say, on the wing.
Yeah, about eight.
It flew. It did what it was designed to do. The technology obviously continues to evolve. Jack and I were out in the North 40 yesterday, guests of a good close friend of the podcast. And looking over his airplane, his camping site, and this kind of thing. And he had a little solar panel spread over the back window of the 182's cabin that was he used to recharge a battery that he could use to recharge his cell phone and other portable equipment. Yeah. And little solar shade, it was flexible. You could fold it up, roll it up. And it made a perfect cover for the back window of the 182 to keep the sun out. So, it's coming. What we need to have is some flexibility and a lot more options.
Yes. Well, and if there's any good news that comes out of our current gas or petroleum situation, it is that $5 gas starts to make all these alternatives much more economical.
Well, that's right. That's right.
I bought it for $3.71 this morning.
We will be back for more. You're listening to a special episode of Uncontrolled Airspace on EAA Radio.